بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. This is our session number 23, reading from lessons in Arabic language, book 3, level 3, yani the first half of book 3. Dr. Fa Abdul Rahim, Islamic University of Medina, Arabic Language Institute. Okay, so today, بإذن الله تعالى, we're going to try to go back to lesson number 10 and complete it. Last week we spent a good amount of time going into the details of explaining the English key and also analyzing every sentence of the Arabic dialogue. So today, inshallah, we're not going to go into the details of the English key. We're just going to quickly review it. The English key, page 39, 40, and 41. And then we're going to go to the answers to the exercises. I think last week we did the Arabic dialogue, and we did exercise number one, which is a comprehension exercise. So today, inshallah, we're going to start with exercise number two, which is an explanation of the core of this lesson, yani the two types of sentences and the whole discussion concerning that. And then exercise number two actually has questions, okay? So the questions for exercise number two are numbered as 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7, or 2, A, B, C, D, E, F, and G. Then we'll have exercise number 3 dealing with tafiqa, and exercise number 4 related to some mudari verbs. Okay, so exercise number 2 actually has several questions, 1 through 7. We're going to be looking at those today after we read the Arabic explanation. Okay, so just to start, quick review of the English key to remind us of what we covered in detail last week. On page 39 in this lesson, we learned the following. Number 1, the two types of Arabic sentences. And this is the core of this lesson. We learned this in book 2, lesson 1, that there are two types of sentences. There's the nominal sentence that begins with a noun known as jumla ismiya, because it begins with an ism. And then there's the verbal sentence that begins with a verb. In Arabic, it's known as al-jumla al-fi'liya, because it begins with a fi'l. The nominal sentence begins with a noun. The verbal sentence begins with a verb. Then we said, here are more details about these two types of sentences. And here we said, and we discussed it in detail last week, that the nominal sentence has one of three types of beginnings. It may begin with one of the following three things. It may begin with any one of them. The first one is a noun or a pronoun. And by pronoun, we mean demonstrative pronoun, personal pronoun, and whatever, relative pronoun. It may begin with a noun or a pronoun. The second thing the nominal sentence may begin with is what is known as al-masdar al-mu'awwal. Masdar mu'awwal, we said, is a clause functioning as a masdar. A clause meaning, yani, it's composed of the particle n and a verb. So together, that clause functions like a masdar, an infinitive, like entering, exiting, sitting, and so on. Okay? But it's composed of a particle, the particle n, plus the verb. Okay, so these two things, the particle n, harf al-masdar, and the verb together make up what is known as al-masdar al-mu'awwal. So it can function as a masdar, as in antasumu. This is n plus the verb tasumu, can take the place of the masdar as-sawm or as-siyam. Antasumu khayrun lakum, or as-siyam or as-sawmu khayrun lakum. Okay, so this is the second thing that a nominal sentence may begin with, the masdar mu'awwal. And they gave us examples in the footnote on page 40, footnote number 1. They gave us several examples of the masdar mu'awwal when it's in the position where it should be marfu'un, when it's in the position where it should be mansub, and when it's in the position where it should be majrur. And for homework, inshallah, we should have taken another look at that footnote. We went into it in detail last week. We won't go into detail today. The third thing that the nominal sentence can begin with is a particle resembling a verb, yani al-huruf al-mushabbaha bil-fi'l, yani the letters, the particles that resemble the verb, in that they make the noun following them, the ism of that particle becomes mansub, like the object of a verb becomes mansub. The example they gave us, Inna Allaha Ghafur Rahim. Indeed, Allah is forgiving, merciful. And we said that the particles that resemble verbs are Inna wa akhawatuha, Inna wa anna wa ka'anna, Layta, La'alla, and Lakinna that we studied in the beginning of Inna wa akhawatuha, I think in the beginning of book 2. Tayyib. So, those are the three things that a jumla ismiya may begin with. A noun or pronoun, a masdar mu'awwal, which is a clause consisting of the particle n and a verb, or it may begin with a particle resembling a verb. Now, the particle resembling the verb is not the mubtada, but the sentence may begin with that kind of particle. Okay? In reference to the other type of sentence in Arabic, the verbal sentence that begins with a verb, yani jumla fi'liya begins with a fi'l, we said that the beginning of the verbal sentence is one of two possible things, either a complete verb, al-fi'l at-tam, or an incomplete verb, al-fi'l al-naqis. And here we want to note that fi'l naqis here is not what we mean by what we studied when we studied the mu'tal verbs, yani that there are three types of mu'tal verbs, the one that has a weak letter in the beginning, middle, and end, yani the mithal, the ajwaf, and naqis. That's not what we're talking about here. Fi'l naqis here, as opposed to fi'l tam, the fi'l tam is the complete verb which suffices to complete its meaning just with the fa'il, a noun that's marfu'un, the fa'il. That's the complete verb. It only needs a fa'il to complete its meaning. Like tala'at al-shamsu, the sun rose. So this verb is complete. Why? Because it only needs a fa'il, al-shamsu. Alright? The incomplete verb is the verb that is not sufficed by just one noun that's marfu'un. An incomplete verb is one that needs a ism and a khabar. Yani, in other words, it needs a jumla ismiya. The incomplete verb, the sentence that begins with an incomplete verb, it's a verbal sentence, but that verb needs a jumla ismiya, mubtada and khabar, that becomes its ism and its khabar. So the incomplete verb is one that needs an ism, that's the subject of that verb, and it needs a khabar, what we want to say about that verb, as in, for example, kana al-jawu baridan. So al-jawu baridun is a jumla ismiya, mubtada and khabar. But when we use it with an incomplete verb, it becomes the ism and the khabar. It becomes the subject that we want to talk about, kana al-jawu. We want to talk about the weather. What about it? Baridan. It was cold. So the subject of the incomplete verb is marfu'un, and the khabar is going to be mansub, or in the place where it should be mansub. And if it's a noun, it'll be mansub. And if it is, yani, a jumla ismiya, another jumla ismiya, then it will be in the place where it should be mansub. We'll look at that in some details again today. Okay, so the incomplete verb primarily is going to be, for this lesson, it's going to be primarily kana wa akhawatuha. It's going to be kana and the akhawat of kana. Kana wa akhawatuha. That's what we're going to be primarily, mostly dealing with in this lesson. Kana wa akhawatu has an incomplete verb that needs an ism and a khabar. But also, this is also applicable to kada wa akhawatuha, and as we will see as the second point of this lesson, it's also applicable to tafiqa. Tafiqa, which is from af'al ash-shurur, yani the verbs that have the meaning of to begin to do something. In this lesson, we see tafiqa, ja'ala, and akhada. So this type of verb that has the meaning of to begin to do something is also a fi'l naqis. It's an incomplete verb, and it requires an ism and a khabar, except, as we will see, its khabar is going to be a sentence. Okay, so as far as the complete and incomplete verb, we said the complete verb, as mentioned here, is the verb that needs a fa'il only. The incomplete verb is the verb that needs an ism and a khabar. A ism and a khabar, a subject and what we want to say about it. Like sara al-ma'u thaljan, the water became ice. So the subject is al-ma'u, and thaljan is what we want to say about it, the khabar. All right. That's the first point. The second point is tafiqa. Number two, on page 41, we said tafiqa bilalun yaktubu. Bilal began to write. Tafiqa is also an incomplete verb. It requires an ism and a khabar. In this sentence, Bilal is its ism, and the sentence yaktubu, the sentence yaktubu, is its khabar. Yani he writes, so he is writing. That's the khabar. So the verb in the khabar should be mudari. For this type of sentence that begins with tafiqa, requires an ism, requires a khabar. The khabar is going to be a verb, and the verb is going to be a mudari verb. The same exact thing is applicable to the verbs akhada and ja'ala. When they are used to have the meaning of to begin to do something, then they are also used in the same way and with the same meaning. So, for example, you say akhada al-mudarrisu yashrah. The teacher began to explain, for example, the lesson. Or ja'ala, or ja'altu akulu. I began to eat. Here the pronoun tu is the ism of ja'ala, and the sentence akulu is its khabar. Okay, so to summarize, yani the incomplete verb is a verb that requires an ism and a khabar. Some incomplete verbs like tafiqa and akhada and ja'ala, some of them, their khabar is going to be a jumla ismiya, a mudari verb. It's going to be a mudari verb. So that's the summary of what we covered last week. We also read the dialogue and we looked at every single sentence, which ones are jumla ismiya and which ones are jumla fi'liya. And we also identified the jumla ismiya. What is its beginning? Is it a noun or a pronoun? Is it a masdar mu'awwal? Is it a harf that resembles a verb? Yani a particle that resembles a verb. We looked at all of that. We looked at the jumla fi'liya and whether that jumla fi'liya begins with a complete verb or an incomplete verb. So we looked at the English, the Arabic text at the beginning of this lesson, the dialogue, and we looked at it in detail. And we also covered the first exercise. So now we're going to go and look at, we're going to take a look at exercise number two. Exercise number two. Okay, so exercise number two actually is the explanation of what came in the English key of the two types of sentences. Okay, we want to just read through the Arabic to make sure that we understand all of the words in this explanation, and also as yani a reinforcement of the core of this lesson, the two types of sentences, the jumla ismiya and the three ways it may begin, the jumla fi'liya and the two ways that it may begin. Okay, so it says, number two, exercise number two, which on the bottom of the page you see number one. Number one is the first question for exercise number two, and then on the following page, number two, three, four, five, six, and seven are the remaining questions for exercise number two, followed by exercise number three and four. Okay, so al-jumla imma ismiya wa imma fi'liya. The sentence is either ismiya, nominal sentence, or fi'liya, verbal sentence. فالجملة الإسمية, so the nominal sentence, هي التي صدرها, it is the one which its beginning, it starts with either ألف اسم صريع, صريح, a clear يعني noun, meaning a noun or any type of pronoun. For example, الله غفور, this is a proper noun, الله غفور, Allah is forgiven. هذه مدرسة, this is a school, this is a يعني اسم إشارة, pronoun, demonstrative pronoun. Ana mujtahidun, this is a personal pronoun. So the point is what? That the first way that a jumla ismiya may begin with a noun or a pronoun. That noun could be a proper noun, common noun. That pronoun could be a personal pronoun, demonstrative pronoun, relative pronoun, whatever. The second thing the jumla ismiya begins with, ba, masdarun muawwalun. Masdarun mu'awwalan, which is a clause that consists of the particle and, and the verb. Masdar mu'awwal. Yani it's a clause that has the meaning of a masdar. Has the meaning of the masdar. For example, wa antasumu khayrun lakum. Surah Baqarah 184. And that you fast is better for you. Fa antasumu, the clause antasumu, the masdar mu'awwal, takdiruhu, its meaning or it's understood to mean siyamukum. So what is the meaning of the masdarul awwal? It's a clause that has the meaning, that brings the same meaning as a masdar. Siyam. Siyamukum and tasumu. That you fast has the same meaning of siyamukum. Your fasting. Your fasting is better for you. That you fast is better for you. The third thing that a jumla ismiya may begin with is harfun mushabbahun bil fi'li. A particle that resembles the verb. For example, inna Allahu ghafur rahim. Inna is a particle that resembles the verb. It makes the noun following it, the ism inna mansub. Inna Allahu ghafur rahim. Indeed, Allah is forgiving, merciful. Wal ahrafu al mushabbahatu, yani the ahraf al mushabbaha, the particles that resemble bil fi'l, the verb, hiya inna wa akhawatuha. Okay, so the jumla ismiya either begins with ism sari', a noun or pronoun, masdar mu'awwal, a clause that can take the place of a masdar, harf mushabbahun bil fi'l, the particle that resembles a verb, which is inna wa akhawatuha. The next point is wal jumlatu al fi'liyya, the jumla fi'liyya, the verbal sentence, hiya allati sadruha, is the sentence which its beginning is either alif, fi'lun tamun, a complete verb like tala'at ash-shamsu, or dakhala al-waladu, or jalasa al-mudarrisu, yani a verb that only requires a fa'il, a noun that's marfu'un, to complete its meaning. Doesn't require anything more than that. وَبَا فِعْلٌ نَاقِسٌ نَاقِسٌ, yani a verb that is incomplete, like كَانَ الْجَوُّ بَارِدًا, yani a verb that doesn't suffice just with a subject, a noun that's marfu'un, but rather it also requires a noun that's mansub, which is what we want to say about that subject in order to complete its meaning. So al-jawu, you can't say kan al-jawu, and that's not sufficient. It's not sufficient just to have that subject, but you have to say something about the subject, baridan, that it is, the weather was cold. Al-af'al al-naqisa hiya kana wa akhawatuha. So it says here what? The af'al al-naqisa hiya kana wa akhawatuha. Yani, they are not only, those are not the only incomplete verbs, but those are the ones that we want to focus on in this particular lesson. Kana wa akhawatuha, asbaha, to reach the morning, adha, to reach the duha time, amsa, to reach the evening, yani bata, to spend the evening, laysa is from akhawatu kana, mazala, madama, and so on. So those are the fi'l naqis that we want to focus on, but also kada, which means to nearly happen, is also included, and the verbs that mean the beginning, like tafika and akhada and ja'ala, also all of those are yani from al-af'al al-naqisa. All of them have in common what? That they do not suffice just with a subject, but they must also require a khabar. That khabar could be a noun or it could be a sentence. Okay, now we look at a chart of the jumla. It's composed of two parts. On the right, al-jumla al-ismiya, and on the left, al-jumla fi'liya. The jumla ismiya, nominal sentence, it begins with either a noun or pronoun, like Allahu ghafurun, Allah is forgiven, or antasumu khayrun lakum, a masdar mu'awwal, that you fast is better for you, or a particle that resembles a verb, inna Allahu ghafurun rahim. As far as on the left side, al-jumla al-fi'liya, it has two possible beginnings. They give two examples for the second one. The first one, alif, tala'at al-shamsu, yani al-jumla fi'liya, it either begins with a complete verb that only requires a fa'il. Tala'at al-shamsu, it's complete, with just its fa'il, the subject. The second type of jumla ismiya, the second way jumla fi'liya may begin, is with an incomplete verb, like kana al-jaw baridan, and it requires a subject, al-jaw, and it also requires a khabar. What about it? It was cold. Another example of that type of sentence that begins with an incomplete verb is kan Allahu ghafur rahima, Allah was or is forgiving and merciful. And it requires a subject, Allah, and it requires what you want to say about it, the khabar of Ghafurur Rahima. Okay, after this is exercise number two. It's explanation of the core of this lesson, the two types of sentences and the ways that they may begin. And then the first question for exercise number two on the bottom of page 85 is, Istakhrij ma fi darsi من الجملة الجمل الإسمية وعين ناو الصدر في كل واحد منها. يعني extract from the lesson whatever it contains of nominal sentences. وعين identify or specify ناو الصدر. What is the type of its beginning in each one of them? يعني is its beginning a noun or pronoun, a masdar mu'awwal, or a particle that resembles a verb? This is the first question, and we actually did go over this when we did the reading of the dialogue previously, the Arabic text at the beginning of the lesson. But in any case, as far as the jumla ismiya, from amongst the jumla ismiya, we have, for example, okay, we have in line 1, 2, 3. Okay, in line 3 we have فَبَعَدُهُمْ وَقَفَ يَخْتُبُ وَبَعَدُهُمْ جَعَلَ يَكْتُبُ عَلَى السَّبُورَ. So this sentence begins with a noun, فَبَعَدُهُمْ. That's a jumla ismiya, and it begins with a clear noun, بَعَدُهُمْ. Then we have now in the next line we have ma hadha. Ma hadha is also yani a jumla ismiya. It begins with yani a clear noun. And amrukum fawda also begins with a clear noun. And following that, ka'anna al-fasl begins with a harf mushabbahan bil fi'l, yani the particle that resembles a verb. And then in the next line we have inna mudarrisakum maridun. Inna, a jumla ismiya, begins with a particle that resembles a verb. And then in the next line we have an tadhhabu ila al-maktabati khayrun laka. An tadhhabu, jumla ismiya that begins with a masdar muawwal. And then in the last line of this dialogue we have ar-ra'yu ra'yuka, yani your view is the correct view. This begins with a clear noun. So those are the jumla ismiya and the types of beginning that they have. The next question is question number 2 at the top of page 86. This question says istakhraj ma fi darsi, yani extract whatever is in the lesson from al-jumla al-fi'liya, yani verbal sentences. وَعَيِّنْ نَوَ الصَّدْرَ فِي كُلِّ وَاحِدَةٍ مِنْهَا. And identify or specify the type of beginning that each one begins with. Yani does it begin with a complete verb or an incomplete verb? So we have lots of sentences here that are jumla ismiya. In the first line we have رَنَّ الْجَرَسُ. So this is a complete verb. بَدَعَتْ الْحِسَّةُ الْخَامِسَةُ. This is a complete verb. مَرَّتْ عَشَرَةُ دَقَائِقُ. Yani this is a complete verb, fi'il tam. وَلَمْ يَأْتِ. This is also a jumla ismiya that begins with a complete verb. سَعِمَ التُلَّابُ is a complete verb. طَفِقُوا يَتَحَرَّكُونَ مِنْ أَمَاكِنِهِمْ. This is an incomplete verb. Incomplete verb, تَفِقُوا. But its khabar, yani its ism is, yani tafiqu, its ism is waw al-jama'ah. The waw at the end of the verb that represents hum tafiqu. They began, yataharrakuna is the khabar. After that, we have, we also have in the third line, ja'ala yaktubu, yani wa ba'aduhum ja'ala yaktubu. Yani this is a, ba'aduhum is a jumla ismiya, but it also, yani the khabar of it is a jumla fi'liya, ja'ala yaktubu. And that jumla fi'liya, that's the khabar of ba'aduhum, is an, it begins with an incomplete verb, ja'ala yaktubu. Okay, so yaktubu is the khabar. Ja'ala, yani is the fi'l and fa'il, yani referring back to ba'adu, and yaktubu is the khabar, which is a jumla ismiya, yani fi'l mudari. And then we have jumla fi'liya, dakhala al-muraqib, that's a complete verb. And then we have in the next line, falam yahdur al-yawma, complete verb. Fayumkinukum, al-dhahabu is a complete verb. And then in the last paragraph we have kharajna, third line from the bottom. It's a complete verb. Kanat, yani kana wa akhwatuha, are incomplete verbs. Kanat as-sa'atu al-thalitha ashara, yani kanat is an incomplete verb. Jumla fi'liya, incomplete verb. As-sa'atu is its ism, and al-thaniyata ashara is its khabar. And then we have in the next line we have laysa al-waqtu munasiban. Laysa is from akhawatu kana. Its ism is al-waqtu and its khabar is munasiban. Naam. And then we have sana'uduhu ba'd salat al-asri, yani a jumla ismiya, jumla ismiya that begins with a complete verb. Okay, so these are yani what is obvious from this text of the jumla fi'liya, yani the verbal sentences, and yani what type, yani does it begin with a complete verb or an incomplete verb. 84, 85. Okay, after this we go to exercise number 3. Exercise number 3 on page 86, and this is the last page of this lesson, right? So there are a lot of questions on this particular page. I'll just try to pay attention to the time. Okay, we have plenty of time, mashallah. Exercise number 2, or question number 2, really. It's question number 2, or exercise number 2B. 2B. Okay, now that's the one we just did, so now we're going to 3, or 2C. Okay, it's A, B, and C in terms of the questions from exercise number 2, or it's questions number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7 from exercise number 2, dealing with the types of sentences and the beginning of the different types of sentences, if it's jumla ismiya or jumla fi'liya. Here, this question number 3 says, حول المصادر الواردة حول المصادر الواردة في الجملة الآتية إلى مصادر مؤولة. Yani, convert or transform the al-masadir, the infinitives that are mentioned in the following sentences, ila masadir muawwala, masadirin muawwalatin. Yani, convert the masdars in the following sentences to masdar muawwal. Change them to a clause that is composed of n and the verb that has the same meaning as the masdar. Okay, so they give you a sentence with a masdar. They want you to rewrite the sentence with the same meaning, but instead of the masdar, have the masdar mu'awwal. And the masdar mu'awwal is what? It's a particle n plus, the particle n plus the verb. Okay, so alif, there's alif, ba, and jim. Three parts to this question number 3. بقاؤك هنا في العطلة أحسن لك. بقاؤك, يعني your remaining here in the عطلة, vacation or holidays, is better for you. بقاؤك. بقاء is the master. We want to change it to master مؤول. So بقاؤك, your remaining here, would be أن تبقى هنا في العطلة أحسن لك. أن تبقى, that you remain here in the holidays or in the vacation, is better for you. با says سكننا في المحجع أفضل لنا. سكننا, يعني our residing or living in the dormitory, is better for us. So the master سكنوا is going to be replaced with the master مؤول. سكننا, our living or residing, we're going to change it to an naskuna, that we live or reside, fil mahja'i afdalu lana. So sakanuna became an naskuna. The third one, jim, qala al-mudarrisu, qala mudarrisu al-khatti, yani the teacher of khat, yani the handwriting teacher, said kitabatukum نصف صفحة بخط جميل أحب إلي من كتابتكم صفحات بِخَطٍ رَدِيءٍ. The teacher of handwriting, he said, كِتَابَتُكُمْ. This is the master, كِتَابَ. The master from كَتَبَ يَكْتُبُ كِتَابَ with تَا مَرْبُوتَ. كِتَابَتُكُمْ, you all's writing, your writing of a half a page, نِصْفَ صَفْحَةٍ, بِخَطٍ جَمِيلٍ, with a beautiful handwriting, is more beloved to me than كِتَابَتِكُمْ, than you all's writing, صَفَحَات, that you write a lot of pages, بِخَطْ رَدِيٍ, with bad handwriting. So the master, كِتَابَ, we're going to, كِتَابَتُكُمْ, we're going to change it to أَن تَكْتُبُوا, that you all write. We're going to use the plural verb because it says كِتَابَتُكُمْ, right? So it's going to be second person, masculine, plural. أَن تَكْتُبُوا, that you all write, a half a page with good handwriting is more beloved to me than that. يعني أَن تَكْتُبُوا مِنْ أَن تَكْتُبُوا, that you all write. يعني صفحات بخطٍ رديٍ, يعني a large number of pages, or pages, many pages, with bad handwriting. Again, so the master كِتَابَ, كِتَابَتُكُمْ, is being replaced with أَن تَكْتُبُوا. And taktubu. Question number four. This is a continuation of exercise number two. ما تقدير المصدر المؤولي في قوله تعالى في سورة البقرة آيات 237 وأن تعفو أقرب للتقوى. So what is the meaning or understanding? What do we understand from the Masdar Mu'awwal? What do we will interpret from this Masdar Mu'awwal in the saying of Allah the Most High in Surah Al-Baqarah, second Surah, 237th ayat, the saying of Allah, وَأَن تَعْفُوا. This is the Masdar Mu'awwal. وَأَن تَعْفُوا أَقْرَبُوا لِلتَّقْوَى. So what Masdar will replace the Masdar Mu'awwal that has the same meaning? أَن تَعْفُوا. That you all, because the original form of this verb ta'afu is ta'afuna, ta'afuna, but the noon is deleted because of n, right? Became mansub because of n, the noon is deleted. And ta'afu, yani that you all pardon, is nearer to taqwa. So the verb is afa ya'afu, wa masdaruhu afwun, and its masdar is afwun. So in place of the master mu'awwal, أَن تَعْفُوا أَنْتُمْ, we're going to put عَفُوكُمْ, عَفُوكُمْ. You all's pardoning is nearer to taqwa. Question number five. حَتِي ثَلَاثَةَ أَمْثِلَةٍ لِلْجُمْلَةِ الْإِسْمِيَةِ صَدْرُهَا أَحْرُفْ مُشَبَّهَ بِالْفِعْلِ. And he give three examples of a of the nominal sentence, its beginning, yani that begins with the particles that resemble the verb. Okay? Particles that resemble the verb. Three examples of the jumla ismiya that begins with particles that resemble the verb. So for example, inna Allah begins with a particle that resembles the verb. Inna Allah ghafur rahim. Or ka'anna الكتابة كأن الكتاب مدرس. It is as though the book is a teacher. كأن, that's a particle. It's from أخواتو إن. وأن وكأن المسجد مدرسة. It is as though the masjid is a school. يعني the masjid is being used like a school. كأن, from أخواتو إن. Now, number six. Question number six. Hati thalathata amthilatin lil jumlati al fi'liyati sadruha af'alun tama. Give three examples of the verbal sentence that begins with complete verbs. Verbal sentence that begin with complete verbs. So we can say, for example, a complete verb is what? A verb that suffices with a fa'il. A noun that's marfoon, that's the subject, doer of the action. It doesn't require any khabar. ذهب سعيد. Sa'id went. نام الطفل. The child slept. خرجت فاطمة. Fatima went out. All of these are Yani sentences, jumla, fi'liya, that begin with a fi'l, tam, that doesn't require a khabar. The next question, and the last one for exercise number two, hati, thalathata amthilatin lil jumlati al-fi'liya. Sadruha af'al naqisa. Yani give three examples of verbal sentences. Its beginning, their beginning should be an incomplete verb. This is question number 7 or G of exercise number 2. Three examples of the jumla fi'liya that begin with incomplete verbs. So for example, kana Allahu ghafurur rahima. Allah is forgiving and merciful. Kana is an incomplete verb. Or laysa Allahu ghafilan amma ya'malu dhalimun. Laysa Allahu, laysa is from akhawatu kana, incomplete verb. The lafz al-jalal, Allah is the subject, and ghafilan is the khabar. And in the first sentence, the lafz al-jalal, Allahu is the subject, and ghafuran rahima is the khabar. Tafiqa at-tullabu yaktubuna. The students began to write. Tafiqa is from the incomplete verbs, except that its khabar is going to be a jumla fi'liya mudari verb. Tafiqa at-tullabu yaktubuna. The students began to write. At-tullabu is the ism of tafiqa, and the sentence yaktubuna, hum yaktubuna, is the khabar, jumla fi'liya, whose fi'l is a mudari verb. Naam. Okay, after this, I did write a couple of other sentences, and since we have time, we can read three more sentences. I also wrote, kana al-jawu harran. Yani, the weather was hot. So, al-jawu is the ism of kana, marfu'un with dhamma, and harran is the khabar, mansub with fatha. Naam. Okay, let's go to exercise number 3 on the bottom half of page 86 in reference to point number 2 of this lesson from the English key. Tafiqa yaf'alu kaza. Tafiqa yaf'alu kaza. Yani, he began to do such and such or so and so. Such and such. He began to do kaza. Ja'ala yaf'alu kaza. You can also say ja'ala yaf'alu kaza. Means the exact same meaning. He began to do such and such. Wa akhadha yaf'alu kaza. Same meaning. He began to do such and such. A, its meaning of all three of these sentences. Tafiqa yaf'alu kaza. Ja'ala yaf'alu kaza. Akhadha yaf'alu kaza. All of them meaning shara'a. بِفِعْلِهِ means he began to do that thing. He began to do that action. Yani that came in place of كَذَا. تَفِقَ يَفْعَلُ كَذَا. He began to do that action. It says here, هَذِهِ الْأَفْعَالَ الثَّلَاثَ. Yani تَفِقَ جَعَلَ أَنْ أَخَذَ تَعْمَلُ عَمَلَ كَانَ. They act the same way that kana acts, meaning they require a ism and a khabar. Illa anna khabaraha yajibu an yakuna jumlatan fi'liyatan fi'luha mudari'un. Yani these three verbs from the af'al al-shuru', the af'al that indicate beginning to do something, tafiqa, ja'ala, akhadha, and as well shara'a has the same meaning. These verbs تَعْمَلُ عَمَلَ كَانَ. They do the same action of كَانَ. They work the same way as كَانَ. Meaning, they require ism and khabar. And their ism is going to be مَرْفُوعٌ. And their khabar is going to be مَنْسُوبٌ. That's how we, yani, said كَانَ operates, right? We say كَانَ الْجَوُّ حَارًا or كَانَ الْجَوُّ بَارِدًا. So, It requires an ism and a khabar. The ism is going to be marfu'un and the khabar is going to be mansub. So these verbs, tafiqa and ja'ala and akhadha act the same way as kana. They have an ism and a khabar. And the ism is marfu'un and the khabar is mansub. Except that the difference here with tafiqa and ja'ala and akhadha, except that khabaruha, their khabar, yajibu, is mandatory, obligatory, and yakuna jumlatan fi'liya. It's mandatory that their khabar, instead of being an individual noun, it has to be a jumla fi'liya, a verbal sentence. فعلها مضارع, and its verb in that verbal sentence must be a مضارع verb. And we can add here also that these verbs تفق and أخذ and جعل, their خبر is going to be a جملة اسمية, and that verb is going to be a مضارع verb, but we're not going to see the N, the particle N used with them. Although with some other يعني ناقص verbs that have a khabar that's a jumla ismiya, we may see an, like an adhaba, an a'ukula, but not with these verbs. Okay, make sure that we don't use an with these verbs, tafiqa, ja'ala, and akhada. The khabar is going to be a jumla fi'liya, and that fi'l is going to be a mudari verb, but it's not going to be preceded by the particle an. We will see other verbs like this that are preceded by the particle an, but as for these, no, it's not preceded by the particle N, yani the N mastariya. Okay, so that's the explanation of tafiqa and akhada and ja'ala, that they work like kana, except that their khabar is going to be, must be a jumla fi'liya, and that verb must be a mudari verb, and we must not precede it with N. Now, what do we have to do with this exercise? Adkhil كل فعل من هذه الأفعال في جملة مفيدة. Enter or use each verb from these verbs that are mentioned here in a جملة مفيدة, يعني a beneficial sentence, or what is intended by beneficial sentence, a complete sentence. Keeping in mind, right, that these verbs are incomplete verbs. So in order for their sentence to be complete, they have to have two components with that verb. The ism, which is the subject that it's talking about, and the khabar of what you want to say about that subject, the khabar. And its khabar is going to be a jumla fi'liya, and the fi'l of that jumla fi'liya is going to be a mudari verb. Okay, so in order for it to be complete, the verb must be accompanied by a subject, and it must be accompanied by a khabar. That's going to be a jumla ismiya, and its fi'l is going to be mudari. Okay, so they gave us three verbs, tafiqa, ja'ala, akhada, and shara'a. And remember we said that shara'a also has the same meaning and operates the same way like tafiqa, ja'ala, and akhada. They all mean to begin doing something. Okay, so let's say the first sentence, tafiqa ar-rajulu yusalli, the man began to pray. Tafiqa is the incomplete verb, ar-rajulu is its ism, marfu'un with dhamma, and its khabar is yusalli, yani the jumla fi'liya, yani huwa yusalli, yani the fi'l of it is going to be a mudari verb. The man began to pray. We could also say, for example, tafiqa al-waladu yaktubu. Another example of tafiqa. Tafiqa al-waladu yaktubu. The boy began to write. Tafiqa is the incomplete verb. Al-waladu is its ism, marfu'un with dhamma. And yaktubu is its khabar. It's a jumla fi'liya whose fi'l is a mudari verb. And by the way, this jumla ismiya, as the khabar of tafiqa, remember that tafiqa is like kana. It has an ism and a khabar. Its ism is marfu'un and its khabar is mansub. But here, since the khabar, yaktubu or yusalli, since it's a sentence, we don't say that yaktubu is mansub. We say that it's fi mahalli nasb. As the khabar of tafiqa, it is, we say, khabar tafiqa, the jumla ismiya. The fi'l and the fa'al, yaktubu, is the jumla ismiya fi mahalli nasb, in the place where it should be mansub. Okay, let's look at another one. Another one we look at Ja'ala. Let's look at Ja'ala. It's the second verb they gave us is Ja'ala. Yanam Ja'ala. Now Ja'ala at-tiflu. Ja'ala at-tiflu yadhaqu. Yani the child began to laugh. Ja'ala is the incomplete verb. At-tiflu is the ism. Marfoon with Dhamma. And yadhaqu is the khabar. Fi mahalli nasb. Jumla ismiya. Is fi'l is a mudari verb. The child began to laugh. Similarly, we can say for ja'ala. Ja'ala at-talibu yahfadhu al-Qur'ana. Ja'ala is the incomplete verb. At-talibu is its ism marfoon with Dhamma. And yahfadhu is fi mahalli nasb, in the place where it should be mansub as the khabar of ja'ala. Jumla fi'liya yahfadhu. Its verb is a mudari verb. Its verb is a mudari verb. Naam. Let's go to the next one. Akhadha. Naam. Akhadha. Example of akhadha. Akhadha at-talibu yaqra'u. Akhadha at-talibu yaqra'u. The student began to read. Akhadha is the fi'l naqis. At-talibu is the ism of akhadha marfu'un mutdamma. And the jumla ismiya yaqra'u, whose fi'l is a mudari verb, is the khabar of akhadha fi mahalli nasb. Another example for akhadha. Akhadhat al-bintu tadrusu. The girl began to study. Akhadhat is the fi'l naqis. Al-bintu is the ism akhadha marfu'un mutdamma. And the jumla ismiya, whose fi'l is a mudari verb, the whole jumla ismiya, yani is fi mahalli nasb, as the khabar of akhadat. The last verb, shara'a, we say, shara'a al-khatibu yakhtubu. The khatib, the speaker of Jumu'ah, al-khatib, the speaker, shara'a, began, yakhtubu, to give the khutbah. So shara'a is the fi'l naqis, al-khatibu is the ism, shara'a marfu'un with dhamma, and yakhtubu the jumla ismiya, whose fi'l is a mudari verb, is the khabar. Yani fi mahalli nasb, the whole sentence is in the place where it should be mansub because it's the khabar of shara'a. And one final example, shara'at al-ummu tatbukhu al-lahma. The mother began to cook the meat. Shara'at is the fi'l naqis. Al-um is the ism of shara'at, marfu'un with dhamma. And the jumla ismiya, tatbukhu. Yani, is a jumla ismiya whose fi'l is a mudari verb, is the khabar. The khabar of, yani shara'at. As the khabar of shara'at is fi mahalli nasb. And lahma is the mafulun bi mansub with fatah. All right, the last exercise is exercise number 4. It says hati mudariya al-af'al al-atiya. Give the present tense form of the verb for the following verbs. They gave taharraka, which means to move. Its mudari form is yataharraku. Taharraka yataharraku. Abitha, which means to play or to joke or to play around, fool around. Abitha, its mudari form is ya'bathu, ya'bathu. And the last one, sa'ima, yani sa'ima means to be bored or tired or weary with something, tired of doing something. Sa'ima its mudari form is yas'amu, yas'amu. And then they gave us the example in the Quran, the use of sa'ima ash-shay, yani yuqal sa'ima ash-shay wa minhu, yani a person became bored or tired with something, they became weary of it. And it's mentioned in the Quran, la yas'amu al-insanu min du'a al-khayr, that a person does not become weary or tired of supplicating his supplication for khayr. Nobody gets tired of asking for good. All right, this is the end of this, of the last exercise for this lesson. Inshallah, we're going to stop with this, even though we still have a lot of time left. But alhamdulillah, yani it is Ramadan, and since we finished early, mashallah, it's good for us to be able to since it's Ramadan, to take a break, yani to prepare to engage in some act of worship or to prepare for the upcoming prayers or whatever we have to do for the rest of the day. I'll just mention here quickly that the following lesson that we'll have for homework for next week is a very important lesson. It gives us some important fundamentals that give us further details about the Jumla Ismiyah. In this lesson number 10, we have studied the two types of sentences in Arabic, Jumla Ismiyah and Jumla Fi'liyah, and some details of how the Jumla Ismiyah begins and how the Jumla Fi'liyah begins. In the following lesson, we're going to give more details related to the Jumla Ismiyah. From amongst the topics that we're going to look at in reference to the Jumla Ismiyah is the types of Mubtada. We said that the Jumla Ismiyah is composed of two essential parts, Mubtada and Khabar, the subject and what we want to say about it. So we're going to look at the different types of Mubtada. The second thing in this lesson that we're going to be looking at is that the Mubtada is mostly generally definite. However, we'll come to know in this lesson that it may be indefinite as well. And we're going to look at, yani, what are the cases or some of the cases in which the Mubtada may be indefinite and the rules related to that. Also, we're going to be looking at in this lesson the order of Mubtada and Khabar. Yani, generally, the Mubtada comes first and the Khabar follows. However, there are exceptions to that, and we're going to be looking at that. And the last thing in reference to the Mubtada is that sometimes the Mubtada or the Khabar can be omitted. And we're going to look at that, in which cases it will be omitted and how that looks. And then we're going to look at details related to the Khabar, the different types of Khabar. There are three types of Khabar, an individual singular word or a Jumla of either type, Ismiyah Fi'liyah, and a Shibah Jumla of either type. It could be a prepositional phrase or adverbial phrase. So the Khabar is of three types mainly, Mufrad, Jumla, or Shibah Jumla. The Jumla is of two types, and Shibah Jumla is of two types, so that makes five types of Khabar. We're going to be looking at the details of each of them, and then we're going to be looking at the agreement between Mubtada and Khabar, that they agree in number, and they agree in gender. They're both always marfu'un, so we're not looking at that, but the thing that they may not agree in is in being definite or indefinite, but they must agree in number, they must agree in gender. So we're going to look at the details of that, the agreement between Mubtada and Khabar. So we can see that this is going to be a detailed lesson. For homework, inshallah, please begin to read the English key. It's quite lengthy. It starts on page 42 and ends on page 47. So it's a lot. And then we're going to go to the Arabic text. It's only a page and a half. We're going to do that, and maybe we'll do a few of the exercises for this week's homework. The first exercise is comprehension, and then that's followed by an Arabic explanation of all of these things related to Mubtada and Khabar of the Jumla Ismiyah. All of those things are going to be explained in Arabic. I mean, that might be all we're going to cover in the next week's session. And then probably after that, I'll see if we'll do any exercises, or we'll just save the exercises for the following session. But we won't do this lesson in one session. We'll do it in two sessions at least. So we're going to read the English key for homework, and we're going to read the Arabic text at the beginning of the lesson, and maybe any a couple of exercises, at least the comprehension exercise in the beginning. Subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayka, and I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his mercy and his favor and his blessings in allowing us to do more of the good that we normally do, yani in this month of Ramadan, and to do it better than we have been doing it, and that he recognize, reward, and record our good deeds.
by allowing us to do them sincerely for his sake alone in accordance with the authentic sunnah, and that he pardon and forgive and overlook our mistakes and errors and our shortcomings during this month of Ramadan and after, and that he keep us firm upon as-sirat al-mustaqim until we return to a condition of being pleasing to him and pleased with him, and that that he grant us success more than any other time in the days that are ahead, especially the last 10 days of Ramadan, and more particularly the last 10 nights of Ramadan in our search for Laylatul Qadr, which the Prophet has emphasized, yani the importance of worship in this time, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informed us that the worship in Laylatul Qadr is better than the worship in 1,000 months or a whole lifetime, 83 or 84 years of worship. Yani the worship in this one night will be better. Let us take full advantage of this opportunity and not let it escape from us, especially in the last 10 nights of Ramadan. May Allah grant us success. May He make it easy for us. And may He pardon and forgive and overlook our mistakes and errors. Ameen, Ya Rabbal Alameen.